I'm going to read several scriptures starting in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and then, with the Lord's help, seek to bring them together for our help and instruction this afternoon. 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'm just going to read a verse or two or a few verses in several places to have before us those portions of the Word that perhaps God would have us to be occupied with this afternoon. 2 Timothy 3, verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now we read in the second chapter, the first two verses, 2 Timothy 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And now I'd like to turn back to the first book of Chronicles, chapter 28, and read a portion there. First Chronicles, chapter 28, verse 11. Then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch and of the houses thereof and of the treasuries thereof and the upper chambers thereof and of the inner parlors thereof and of the place of the mercy seat and the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord and of all the chambers round about of the treasuries of the house of God and of the treasuries of the dedicated things. Also for the courses of the priests and of the Levites and for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord and for all the vessels of service in the house of the Lord. Verse 19. All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. 2 Chronicles chapter 3. 2 Chronicles chapter 3 and verse 1. Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David his father, in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And he began to build in the second day of the second month, in the fourth year of his reign. Now these are the things wherein Solomon was instructed for the building of the house of God. And now let us read in the book of Numbers, chapter 27. Numbers 27 and verse 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, Get thee up into this Mount Abiram, and see the land which I have given unto the children of Israel. And when thou hast seen it, thou also shalt be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother was gathered. Now verse 15. And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. And one other verse now, in the last chapter of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 34. Verse 9, Deuteronomy 34 and verse 9. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. Well, perhaps this might seem a rather strange connection of scriptures, but I'll say at the outset what I had especially before me in referring to these scriptures, which we can only touch on briefly as we go through, and that is what is brought before us in the second epistle to Timothy, that I might speak of it this way, as to the continuance and furtherance of the testimony of God. I was thinking of this especially in regard to the young people in our midst. It would apply to each and every one of us who are here this afternoon, but I wanted to apply it especially to the young people. Our brother who spoke yesterday afternoon referred to the present generation, and he spoke about himself as being the third generation. And he referred to the fact that there had been godly men that he recalled who have gone on, and now others have come along in their place, and young ones are coming along. In other words, we have in these thoughts the fact that God would have the testimony not only maintained, but the one to continue in the testimony and to further the testimony as each generation comes on to follow on in the Word of God as is set forth for us in these scriptures, the pattern that we have in the Word of God. Now, I had it especially upon my heart to speak to those young people who have an exercise to walk in the truth. I'm not saying that I'm excluding anyone, especially this afternoon. But it's very sad that we have to admit that where there are those who are young in years, we trust they are the Lord, maybe they've made a profession, but too often there is very little, if any, exercise in regard to the truth of God, walking in the truth, the testimony, very little interest in the assembly where they are, maybe just going in a perfunctory way. Well, I trust that all in the room this afternoon would have a desire to not only continue, but to further the testimony of God where you are. Each one of us, as gathered to the Lord's name, have a responsibility in our locality in connection with the testimony. And where we break bread, where we are identified with the Lord's table in that particular locality, we have a responsibility to the testimony there. And it should be that we all have an exercise in regard to that testimony. I was thinking of Timothy. We read in the second epistle to Timothy, the Apostle Paul refers to Timothy's tears. He remembered Timothy's tears. When Paul was being taken away, why, Timothy was in such sympathy with the apostle and was so attracted to the apostle that we read about tears being shed. I believe that would speak of the fact that God would have young men and young women, the young people, to be sympathetic with the testimony of the Lord where they are. The Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy, I believe, would be representative of the testimony of the Lord, the vessel of testimony. And God would have the young people to be sympathetic, that is, to have an interest, to be concerned as to the state of the assembly, the spiritual and moral state, and as to what each one contributes to that state of the assembly. And so Paul writes to Timothy that he was to continue in the things that he had learned. Paul reminds him of the pattern that had been set. Thou hast fully known my doctrine or teaching and my manner of life. In other words, the Apostle Paul had given the pattern. Things were already revealed and made known. The truth, you might say, was made known and brought out. Things were in a fixed state. Timothy was not to try to search and find the truth. Timothy was to walk in the truth that had already been brought out. The pattern had been set by the apostle. Thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life. And he says, now continue in these things. And not only that, but we read in chapter 2 that he was to pass on to others that which he had received from the apostle. He received the pattern from the apostle. And now he was to be, as it were, a pattern to others coming on after him. He, in his turn, was to pass it on to others. And they were to take up that pattern. The truth of God as set forth in Scriptures in regard to the assembly, the testimony of God. And they, in their turn, were to pass it on unto others. And in this way, the testimony is maintained, continued, and furthered until the Lord Jesus comes and takes his own out of this world. I am satisfied or convinced that as we are left here, and if we are left here a while longer, we do look for the Lord's coming, and we know that there is nothing, no event that has to take place before the Lord can come for his own, and yet we do not know just when he is coming. And it may be that we're left here a little while, and I am convinced that Satan will continue his efforts to destroy the testimony, either by dividing or by corrupting or by bringing in discouragement, or just as those who have been faithful in going on in the truth, perhaps are taken out of this scene to be with the Lord, and there's none coming along, as it were, to fill up the ranks. And I have an exercise that there might be young men and young women in our midst who are exercised to take up the pattern, as it were. I'm not talking about now just traditions. I'm talking about what is set forth in the Word of God in regard to the testimony, the assembly, which has been set forth in the ministry of the Apostle Paul in particular, as we have in Ephesians and Corinthians and other scriptures, that there might be an exercise that young men and young women would continue in that and further it in their own generation, in their own generation. Well, now we know, of course, that while we speak of one generation going on and another coming in to take their place, we know that generations overlap. They do overlap. Even as we have here this afternoon, we have represented many age groups. And so generations overlap. And the truth, of course, applies to us all. But as I say, especially I would apply it to the young people. Now turn to that passage we read in 1 Chronicles 28. I refer to this, for there we see that David is making provision for a generation that comes after himself. There is a verse in the 13th chapter of Acts that reads like this, that David, when he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on asleep. But David not only served his own generation, but here we have him setting a pattern for those that were to follow. He's setting a pattern for Solomon. And I thought that this should be a matter of exercise on the part of those who are older and who have been gathered to the Lord's name for many years, that they might see that not only that they serve the Lord in their own generation, but that a pattern is set for those who are coming on in the testimony. And when I say a pattern is set, I mean by that in walking in the truth oneself, by walking in the truth so that to be a model and, as it were, to give a pattern for those that are coming on. So the first thought we have here is that David is the one who sets the pattern. You remember Peter speaks about the elders in the fifth chapter of his first epistle, and he says that the elder brethren are not to be lords over God's heritage, but in samples are models for the flock. They're to set the pattern. And oh, how it behooves those who have responsibility, older brothers who have responsibility in the assembly today, that the affairs of the assembly and the things that come up, that they're all handled according to the Word of God and in the spirit of humility and lowliness and in the power of the Spirit of God, not acting in fleshly ways, not acting by partiality and according to human standards and principles, but taking up ourselves the pattern of the house of God, the pattern of the assembly, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, is found especially in the writings of the Apostle Paul. Now, I know that one can go into great detail as to what this pattern is, but my thought was to more or less to bring before the young people the fact that there is a pattern set forth in the Word of God, and that by we can be thankful to God that there are those who seek to give expression to that and to walk into that pattern, and then that the young ones might be encouraged to follow on according to the pattern that is found in the Word of God. Notice it says here in verse 11 that David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch and all that had to do with the house. Now, you know, it is one of the natural inclinations, I believe, of youth to want to strike out on a new line of things, to discover new horizons. And we know that this principle is fostered in the world today in the field of education, that one should question everything, and that one should establish his own truth, as it were. And individuals are encouraged to strike out on new paths and to blaze new frontiers. That was the slogan that one of the presidents not long ago took up for his administration. New frontiers. And this is characteristic of youth. But you know, this is not a principle that's in accordance with the Word of God. We're living in a day when the whole truth of God has not only been recorded for us, as it was many years ago, but the whole truth of God has been restored to us in a practical way through the ministry of those whom God has raised up graciously to restore in a practical way the truth of Christianity, the great truths of Christianity, the truth of the assembly. And God is not now calling upon us to go out and to strike out on new paths and new horizons. No, the pattern is already set. The pattern is already set. You know, we read in 2 Timothy about seekers. We read about those who are ever learning but not able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They're always seeking, and they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And why? Because they have rejected that which is already revealed, and they're striking out on new lines, new horizons. They're trying to bring in something new. They feel that the assembly has to be revised and remodeled. Every generation has to revise and remodel and bring things up to date. There are those who would refer to to holding fast that which thou hast is sort of like stagnating water. One would make a reference, and wrongly, that the assembly of God has to adapt itself and revise itself. Oh, no. The pattern was set many years ago. Now, it's true that that pattern was lost for many years. God has graciously restored that pattern. And we have it, as I say, in the Word. And we have it restored by faithful ministry of brethren in days past, and I believe even going on today. Faithful ministry in setting forth the pattern is found in the Word of God in regard to His testimony. So it isn't that God would have the young generation to be seeking new lands and new eras and new horizons. No, here we see the pattern is set. Well, notice in verse 12, the pattern was what he had by the Spirit. In other words, David didn't just conceive of this pattern according to his own thoughts. We're not left to have the assembly according to our own thoughts. We're not at liberty to arrange things just according to our own fancy. Now, I'm not talking about the particular times of meetings or something of that sort, but the character of the assembly. One of the things that is set forth in the Word of God that gives us the pattern that we're to follow, we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, when the apostle takes up the saints as assembled, the first thing he brings before us is the breaking of bread, the remembrance of the Lord. That is the central meeting of the assembly. And one could never speak of making that meeting subservient to some evangelistic effort, so to speak. That's the central meeting of the assembly. We read in Acts 20, on the first day of the week when we came together to break bread. That was the object and purpose for their coming together. You see, it's there at the Lord's table when we remember the Lord that we do express. We express our fellowship with the Lord and with one another as members of the body of Christ. It's that which really expresses what the church is as the body of Christ. And we're not at liberty just to set that aside and to bring in other things that's changing the pattern. The pattern has been set in the Word of God. It's fixed, it's not fluid, and it's fixed, and it's for us to follow the pattern. Well, now then, turn over to the portion we read in 2 Chronicles 3. Here we have a very encouraging thing in connection with Solomon. And this I wanted to apply to the young people especially. Notice verse 3, 2 Chronicles 3. Now these are the things wherein Solomon was instructed for the building of the house of God. Isn't it wonderful to see that Solomon comes along and accepts the pattern that had been set out by David? David had received the pattern by the Spirit, he says, and God had made it known to him, and now he had set it out for Solomon, and it's lovely here to see how that Solomon begins to build according to the way that he was instructed. One of the most encouraging things that one can see in young men and young women in the gathering is the desire to go on, as it were, building in the house of God, serving in the house of God according to that in which they have been instructed. According to that in which they have been instructed, following the pattern. Following the pattern that has been set forth in the Word of God and which has been faithfully ministered. Oh, that's what Solomon is doing here. He's following the pattern, that in which he was instructed. Well, I'm going to refer to one in contrast with this. I didn't read it, but it comes to mind. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 16. Second Kings chapter 16. Keep in mind that David was the one who set forth the pattern. David served his own generation, and he made provision for the following generation in setting forth the pattern for Solomon. And now Solomon comes along, and he begins to build. And he builds according to the instructions that he had received, the pattern. But in here we have a king sometime later than Solomon called Ahaz in verse 10. And King Ahaz went to Damascus. That's outside of Israel, to meet Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria. He's out mingling with one who is not among the Lord's people at all. And notice there, he says he saw an altar that was at Damascus. He went over to Syria and he saw an altar there. And King Ahaz sent to Uriah to the priest the fashion of the altar and the pattern of it, according to all the workmanship thereof. And we read, we're not going to go on and read it, but we read that they built an altar according to that pattern. Now think of this. Here is one who has come along now. David had set the pattern. Solomon builds according to the way he was instructed, and how encouraging that is. But here is one who goes outside over into Damascus, and he sees an altar there. Now that altar that he saw there was not according to the pattern that David had given to Solomon. But it looked very good. And he followed that pattern. And so he comes back and he builds the altar there in the divine center, but it's built according to a wrong pattern. Oh, I would say to the young men and the young women here this afternoon that it's one thing to be gathered to the Lord's name in the place of His appointment, but it's entirely possible to be there and be building according to a wrong pattern. That is, bringing in things that are not according to the Word of God, bringing in principles and practices through perhaps associations with those who are in the camp, and the result is that a wrong pattern is established in the midst of those who are gathered to the Lord's name. It's entirely possible, and we want to be careful that we do not follow a pattern that is outside the Word of God. It may look very good. It may appear very successful. It may be that one can find no fault with that pattern. And yet it's not really according to the Word of God. It's not according to the instructions that God has given us here and which God has graciously given us in the ministry that He has brought before us in a practical way. Oh, I would just urge both young men and young women, because I believe that the young women are as responsible in this as well as the young men. You say, well, I know sometimes the young women feel that they have a very insignificant, if any, part at all in the testimony where they are, but yet you do. For you know, when we read about the assembly, or we have a little picture of the assembly in 1 Timothy chapter 2, we see there the men praying in every place, wherever the assembly is gathered. We see the men praying, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. They're those who are taking the lead and voicing the praise and prayer of the assembly. But there are sisters there too. And there are young sisters that are there. And as we have the little view there of the pattern of the assembly, what do we see of the sisters? There they are, arrayed in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. And they're not adorning themselves to attract the eye of man, but they're adorning themselves with good works to attract, as it were, the eye of God. For you see, that's the little pattern. We see a pattern there, and what a lovely picture it is to see the men with holy hands. That means they're walking in the truth, the young men, holy hands. And then the sisters there, in proper deportment and in proper dress. Oh, yes, it's entirely possible for the young sisters as well as the young brothers to follow the pattern that we find in the Word of God to further the testimony and to continue the testimony. For as I said in the beginning, the enemy seeks to corrupt the testimony. If he can't divide, he will corrupt it. And he'll bring in a pattern from the outside, and then we have a wrong pattern, and one is not following the pattern that Solomon was following when he followed the pattern that David his father gave. Now, this may be a little digression. Turn back to First Chronicles again, but I want to point out something that I've been very exercised about, and I would desire that we would consider this. And I would like for the young people as well as the older ones just think about this for a moment. In 1 Chronicles 23, keeping in mind that David gave the pattern of the house of God to Solomon, and in the course of what it said he gave as the pattern, it says that he gave the courses of the priests and the Levites for all of the work of the service of God. Well, now here in the 23rd chapter of 1 Chronicles, we have the division of the Levites. And I believe this is one of the things that would be included in the pattern that David gave. Verse 5. Moreover, 4,000 were porters, or doorkeepers, and 4,000 praised the Lord with the instruments which I made, saith David, to praise therewith. Now, my thought is this. In the pattern that David gave, there were 4,000 with instruments of music. That would have to do with the leading of our praises unto the Lord. Perhaps we can apply this to the singing of the saints. We know, of course, that we do not use musical instruments. The instrument of praise is the heart, singing and making melody in the hearts of the Lord. That's the instrument, of course. But it would apply here, I believe, to the songs that we would sing. The songs that we would sing. That's a part of the pattern of the testimony of God. There should be singing. There should be singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Hymns have their place. Not only the reading of the Scriptures, not only the ministry of the Word and prayer, but hymns have their place. But notice, while we had 4,000 in connection with the music, we have 4,000 doorkeepers. And why are the doorkeepers mentioned here? Well, I believe we can gain this thought that while hymns have their place and singing has its place among the saints and in the testimony of God, there needs to be watchfulness that songs that are not according to the truth of God and are not in keeping with the spirit of the truth should be excluded. There should be doorkeepers in connection with the hymns and the singing. I believe this is an important point. And I feel that this is one of the reasons why many years ago, those who felt the need of a hymn book were exercised that men who were well taught and who were godly and who were spiritually minded should oversee the collection of a hymn book. And it would be very sad to introduce, as some have even suggested, contemporary songs that are altogether out of keeping with the truth and the spirit of the truth. We need the doorkeepers in connection with the hymns too. Hymn singing is fine. It expresses our worship and praise. There's nothing, I feel, that expresses the feelings of the saints toward the Lord and toward the Father and in regard to the truth more than singing. Singing has that effect of leading out the affections in the heart. Well, how sad if this should be connected with that which is not the truth, or which is of a lower character than the truth that God has made known to us. And so remember, there were 4,000 porters or doorkeepers in connection with the musicians. Now we have earlier than this, you might take a concordance and look it up. We have porters in connection with the singers too, earlier in 1 Chronicles. These doorkeepers are important. Well now, as I've been trying to bring before us, we see that the thought of God is there should be continuance and furtherance of the truth, and the building according to the pattern that has been given us. But also, I'd like to just touch upon the subject of Joshua. And I'm going to say now that you will excuse me if we go a few minutes over, for I feel that I would like to touch upon this subject too of Joshua as bringing before us in a practical way in which we can, as young people, be prepared to further and continue the testimony of the Lord. You remember we read in Numbers 27 that Moses, while he wasn't allowed to take the people into the land, he desired of God that a man might be set over the congregation who was suitable to lead the people of God, a suitable man. And we read in the last chapter of Deuteronomy about that man, Joshua, a man full of the spirit of wisdom. Now, Joshua was a young man. But Joshua, we might say, had to go through certain exercises before he came to that place, you might say, of being the man whom God could use to lead his people. Before it could be said of him that he was a man full of the spirit of wisdom. And just briefly, I would like to touch on some of the events of the life of Joshua that might exercise the young men and the young women, that you might go through these spiritual exercises, that you might be, you might say, a suitable one, that God can continue and further his testimony with you. Turn back to Exodus chapter 16. Or rather, chapter 17 it is. We have here Joshua brought before us for the first time. And we read in verse 13 that Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Amalek is a type of the flesh, Satan working through the flesh. And as we have been reminded, and as every young believer knows from the Word, and we can say also from experience, that while we are the Lord's and indwelt with the Spirit of God, there is still the flesh within. And Satan can work through the flesh. And he can not only corrupt us, but he can lead us to corrupt others. Well, the first thing we read about Joshua here is that he discomfited Amalek. He judged the flesh. He was at war with Amalek. He did not compromise with it. And so, young person, I would say to you, be exercised as to your walk and ways, that they be not fleshly ways, and that your thoughts and your motives and your desires be not fleshly ones, but ones that are that you gain from a reading of the Word of God and from spending time in the presence of the Lord. Now turn to the 24th chapter of Exodus. Just touching on these briefly as the exercise that as a younger generation one would desire that you would have. Verse 13, Moses is called up into the mount, into the presence of the Lord, and he rose up and his minister, Joshua. Well, it's nice to see here that Joshua is with Moses. And Moses is going up into the mount to receive the pattern of the tabernacle. Rather than Joshua being down with the people, and we know what happened to them, He goes up into the mount with Moses. He's following, you might say, a spiritual lead. You know, Aaron was down with the people, and Aaron was led by the people rather than his leading them to set up a golden calf, you remember, and brought in idolatry. But Moses is up into the mount in the presence of the Lord, and he receives the pattern of the tabernacle, and Joshua is with him. He's following, as it were, a spiritual lead. I'd like to put it that way. And so as young men and young women, we want to follow a spiritual lead. You remember the Apostle Paul speaks about those that be perfect, let them be thus minded. And he says that those who walk as he walked with Christ as the object, that they were to be imitators of them or followers of them. And he spoke about many who were following the things of this world or the earthly things. Well, one should not be taking up a lead from them, but one should take a lead from those who are seeking to walk in the truth of God, as we find Moses here going up into the Mount of God. Moses, Joshua is seen here as his minister or servant. Now turn over to the 32nd chapter. I might say, too, that Moses, or rather Joshua, going up into the mount, would learn something of the pattern of the testimony, for the testimony was given to Moses there, and he learned something of the pattern. Would to God that the young ones are learning the truth of God in regard to the assembly while they're young. Now when they come down from the mount, Moses and Joshua, they hear a noise in the camp. And notice verse 17. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. Now Joshua displays here his lack of experience. He had been learning the pattern, but he lacked experience. He didn't really understand what was wrong in the camp. He knew something was wrong, but he didn't really understand what it was. He thought it was the sound of a battle, of war. No, Moses says that isn't what it is. It's the noise of them that sing. It wasn't the noise of battle. Moses understood what was really wrong among the Lord's people. Sometimes those who are young and are exercised may misunderstand what is, they may recognize, I'll say that first, that things are not exactly right in the meeting where they are. Maybe they see that there are things that are not exactly right, but sometimes they may misunderstand what is wrong. And I'd like to say this to all young men and young women, that whatever failures and whatever mistakes and whatever weakness and whatever one may find wrong with those gathered to the Lord's name, there's nothing wrong with the principles on which they gather. Don't attack the principles. Don't attack the principles. That's misunderstanding what is wrong. There are those sometimes who have arisen and they say, well, everything's wrong, and they want to change the whole pattern. No, that isn't what's wrong. No doubt there are many things that are wrong that we need to humble ourselves over and to confess our failures, confess our worldliness, our weakness, our carnality. But the pattern is according to the Word of God. That which is according to the Word of God, we don't want to change that. You see, Joshua misunderstood, being a young man, just what the trouble was. Moses, an older and experienced one, understood. But Joshua was faithful. He continued on with Moses. He didn't break with Moses here. He continued on with Moses, and so he learned. Now notice in the next chapter, chapter 33. In chapter 33, Moses pitches the tent, the tabernacle, outside the camp because there's evil in the camp. And in verse 11, we read that Moses went back into the camp.
But Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Oh, he had learned the pattern with Moses in the mount. He had gone up at least partway with Moses. He had learned something of the pattern. He had been with Moses, and he had gained a little experience now. And while Moses, representative here of the Spirit of God, who could work in the midst of the evil of the camp, yet Joshua would remain outside the camp, and the tabernacle that was outside the camp in faithfulness to the Lord. Well, young people, we have to learn this too. We have to learn that God is sovereign, and the Lord can work by His Spirit in many places that you and I cannot go in faithfulness to the Lord. The Spirit of God can go where I cannot go. God can work where I cannot work if I desire to build according to the pattern and to walk in the truth that God has made known to me. And if I want to continue and further the testimony, then I would remain outside the camp, gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and leave God sovereign and free to come and go as He pleases, to do His work where He will, but to go on with the pattern of things that has been made known to us, which we trust we have learned in the presence of the Lord. Now, this is the education and the exercise of Joshua. And finally, when Moses, my servant, is dead, the Lord says, who is it that comes forward but Joshua, a man with a spirit of wisdom? And so the desire of Moses' heart is realized, a man, not just a young man. He may have been young of years, but he's matured now, and he is a man who is able to lead out and to lead in the people of God. And why? Because he was with Moses. Moses' hand was upon him. He was taught of the Spirit. He was the one taught of God, and he continued in the testimony. He went according to the pattern, and the result was that the testimony of the Lord was furthered and continued in him. Well, I thought this might be helpful to the young people to see this, that God is looking to you as He is looking to me, to continue and to further the testimony, that however long we're left here, we do not know how long it will be. We do not know how long it will be. But however long that we're left here, that there might continue the truth that God is not only recorded in the Word, but which He has graciously recovered, in which it's our privilege to be associated with and to walk in the power of it, that we might be exercised, and that we might go through this exercise like Joshua, and that we might build according to the way we've been instructed like Solomon, and not go outside to get a pattern outside, and not be one who would be striking out on new lines or new horizons and seeking to bring in a new era, but continue thou in the things that thou hast learned.